before the service, someone looked at the candles and wondered if they were long enough, if it was going to be okay. And I just said, well, when they get down to the very bottom, I'll stop preaching. And so I calculate I've got about somewhere between 5 and 6 hours to go. And given the enormity of what is actually here in the outline, one could easily go that long, but Merry Christmas, I will not. You know, during Advent, we began by looking at the preparation that God had for the world. And he prepared it in amazing ways so that the entire kind of the known world at that time in the Middle East was connected together, and these conditions made it just perfect for Christ to be born and then the message to get out later after the resurrection. We also looked at the purposes of God, that really the summation of that is salvation for us, us being restored in relationship with God and being able to spend an eternity with Him. And so all of God's purposes pulled together for that. Then we talked about proclamation, and we had the angels proclaiming the good news of great joy. We had other prophecies proclaiming things, and that we too are called to proclaim the greatness of Christ. And then we talked about the presence of God through Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, and the presence of Christ is an important thing for us on a daily basis, for us to know that Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit and that we can experience God. And so that great, great joy. Today we look at path, and we're looking at the path that Jesus walked. That's the part that is enormous. And then the path that we're called to walk in faith. Now, each of these began with a P. It's just an incredible coincidence that that happened. But we're tying this all together. This is what God's purposes are. And as we look at the path of Jesus, we have a lot of things here to look at just briefly. And the arrows that are there just kind of showing a little bit of a movement, not necessarily in time. Most of it is, but some of it is just a movement that's a logical movement as well. This could make a series to preach on and could take weeks. But there is a value in looking at this just all at once. It's tying things together. It's taking the Christmas story and even before that and tying it together with all of God's purposes. And we see it here through the table. So we begin, when we look at the path of Jesus, we begin with Him being the eternal Son of God. Once again, I'll come back to John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is Jesus. So in the beginning, and when John writes that, his reference is back to Genesis, in the beginning. And it's talking about something greater than the boundaries of what we call time. It's really saying, through all eternity was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the eternal Son of God. There was never a time that Jesus did not exist. In other words, He always existed. He did not come into being on Christmas Day, the day that He was born. That was something else. So Jesus always existed. His path is an eternal path. Then we have God's plan, God's decree. So we have the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who from all of eternity have had a perfect understanding of all things. They understand themselves. They understand the nature of God. They understand what it would mean to share the fullness of God. And so this plan from the beginning of time and before, from all of eternity, was to share this love of God with us. If Ephesians chapter 1 goes into a little more detail about that. And it's a wondrous thing to think about that God's plan was, first of all, out of the fullness of his love, he just wanted to share his love. That's grace right there. And then he creates. That's the next thing. So we're part of this creation that he wants to share the fullness of his love with. And God's purposes then are wrapped up in creation. And he begins to share himself and shares himself with specific people. And the call of God, the call to faith, rests upon these people, the special covenant people. And they begin to learn about God, what it means to have faith. They begin to learn about their own disobedience, how easy it is to walk away from the things of God or just ignore them for a little while. And so the preparation is there throughout all of creation until there is everything is prepared just right, including the prophecies that pointed forward to a new covenant that would come, a covenant that wouldn't just be a written code that we could look at and try to follow, but it'd be written upon our hearts. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Christ child was born. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, for today is born to you in the city of David, the town of Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So we celebrate that. It's called the incarnation, which just literally means in the flesh. God coming in the flesh, fully God, fully human, to be with us, to be for us. And so we celebrate today the marvel of the incarnation. Then we have the ministry of the kingdom. The path of Jesus was to walk for 3 years proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. As he pointed people to the Father, as he taught what it meant to have faith, what righteousness really was deep inside, having hearts that are right with God, a faith that was produced from the inside, not just outward things that we do. And Jesus was constantly misunderstood and challenged. And yet at the same time, there were many that heard him gladly. But some who heard him gladly heard him for the wrong reasons. And so Jesus walked among us, having to put up with us and all of our problems, all of our kind of misdirected thoughts and desires. Even when people wanted to make Jesus king, as he was coming into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, when he knew he was going to the cross, they wanted to make him a king so that they could be delivered from Roman occupation. Jesus knew that his path was to bring a deeper deliverance. And so he walked that. And it led to his arrest, horrible interrogation and humiliation and torture, and then his death on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus uttered words. Some of the words fulfilled Scripture. And they're words of grace. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Those are the words to us constantly that Jesus is praying. He intercedes for us. Father, forgive them. Ron doesn't know what he's doing. Forgive them, for they don't always know what they are doing. Isn't it great to know that Jesus is praying that for us? But his death was not final. We know that there is victory in Jesus, one of kind of our favorite hymns here, victory in Jesus. and there was the resurrection, showing God's power over death. Who's in control? God. Whose plan was it from all of eternity? God's. Was it fulfilled exactly as God planned it? Yes. And so we have the resurrection, and we are beneficiaries of the resurrection of Jesus. Because of his life, we can have life. And then Jesus followed the path, returning to heaven, the ascension. And he sits on the right hand of the Father, which means he is in the place of prominence. It's where he has always been. He deserves to be. And now we wait. His path, part of the decree, is to return and then there'll be the final judgment. And then there is this incredible image we're given in Scripture of a wedding. We as the church are the bride. Christ is the groom. And there's just this union that takes place that is forever. And Christ reigns forever, and we reign forever with him in his presence. So that is the path of Jesus. It begins with eternity and it ends with eternity. And that short little time here on earth, that path, that so crucial path for us, he walked. You know, that path is summarized in communion, or at least it's all implied there. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians is sharing with the church about communion, the Lord's Supper. And he kind of concludes that by saying, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So there is this sense that it's looking forward. It's not done yet. Christ is still going to return. There is looking at eating this bread and drinking this cup or proclaiming something. The bread is symbolizing his flesh and the cup his blood. There's the incarnation right there. But behind the incarnation is implied something greater, that he was, and therefore we have the eternal Son of God. So it is here, when we celebrate communion, the entire path of Jesus that he walked for us. Now, we are called to be faithful. We're called to walk a path of trusting Jesus each and every day. And Christmas, a great celebration of the incarnation, of Christ's birth, is just another reminder that we intersect with the path of Christ very clearly because he walked on this earth. You know, it's an amazing thing to think about. Scientists have kind of looked at this, and I don't have the calculations, but they talk about the air we breathe and how it's recirculated and it travels by the trade winds. And the probability is that in our lifetime that we actually are kind of rebreathing air that Christ breathed. And it's a possibility that as dust is kind of picked up and traveled with, you know, around the world with winds, that wherever we walk could be some dust of where Christ walked. But you know something? Everywhere we walk, everything we breathe, is from Christ, because all things were made through him and for him. So absolutely everything that we do, the path that we walk, has to do with Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now that's a pretty ominous thing. Take up your cross. They knew what that meant. They knew the cross was where the Romans hung people to die, to torture them to death. Jesus used that image to say, you know, there are times when the Christian walk, the path that you're going to be on, is hard. It might even lead to your death. There is suffering involved. There's the normal suffering of life, but there might be that added suffering because you bear the name Jesus. But then he adds this. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. In other words, if we think that it's a better path to go on other than Jesus' path because somehow the riches of this world look better or the easy life is the way to go, Jesus says, if you think that's life, you're actually going to lose life in the end. Then he says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So whoever gives himself to Jesus, walks that path, no matter where it goes, will find the fullness of life. And then this passage goes on to say, for what does it profit if you gain the whole world but lose your life? So Jesus holds out this call to discipleship, to follow him at all costs, but he gives to us promises that say it is worth it. There is nothing greater, there is no greater present that you can receive on Christmas than life in Jesus, both now and for eternity. He is the greatest treasure that there is. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him in John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, if you abide in my word, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, said to the Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. All the words that Jesus spoke were words that he received from the Father. It is all truth. And so Jesus is saying to abide in his word, abide in the truth, all the promises that are there, and the call that brings the challenges as well. And he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from the bondage of sin. Free from our own selfish desires. Free from the limitations of our bodies, this world, in the end. And he sets us free to eternity with him. Sets us free to an eternity without pain or suffering, and just simply has the fullness of God's love, of God's joy, of God's peace. No greater gift. And it is all found in Jesus. The Apostle John is reflecting upon Jesus' words. Years later, he writes a letter, and he says, by this we know that we abide in him. We abide in Christ, in God. We abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So we are abiding in his word, and we know that we're abiding in him because he has given us his Spirit. So that's the good news that's wrapped up there too, is that this gift of Jesus is with us now through the Holy Spirit. And we are not left to our own devices, to our own education or training or strength or wisdom, whatever it might be, to try to do the things of God. We have the Spirit to help us, to guide us, to shape our minds and our hearts, to create within us a new heart. So the Spirit is within us, giving us assurance. And then John writes this as well. More words of assurance. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be. Now this is pointing then to the end of the path. What we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, the return of Jesus, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. We are not going to become God, but we will be similar in that Christ has this perfect resurrection body that will last forever and is only experiencing good things. There is no suffering at all. So in that way, we are like him, and that our hearts will only be righteous because Christ's righteousness will be completely infused in us. So we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To see Christ in his fullness. Behold him face to face, the glory of God, which in the Old Testament, it would talk about no one could see God face to face, or they would die. God's glory would consume them. But somehow in our resurrection bodies, this being like him, we will not be consumed. We will just find the glory of God. We'll be all wrapped up in the glory of God. And then John just gives us this to hold on to. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, Christmas is a time of hope. Because without Christ being born, there would be no hope for this world. We have hope. And as we hope in Christ, we find the purity of Christ working its way in us and the Holy Spirit helping us to become more and more like Jesus. Not fully, not yet, but it will come. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the path that Jesus walked and he now walks for us. We thank you that you call us to be on this path of faith. Give us strength and encourage us. Fill us with great hope. And on this day, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, how privileged we are to say that we bring our prayers in his name. Amen.